We're going to get something done. And I tell you, we realize that, we're not going to fall, because he's always got our hand. I want you, if you would, open up your Bible to Luke chapter 23, Lord being our helper. I didn't know where I was going to be. One of the gentlemen asked me out there in the lobby, and I said, I don't know. Right now, I'm not settled. But it didn't take me about a minute when I got sat down on that bench there and got to talking to the Lord, and he brought this to me. And I want us to, I hope we'll hear what God's got to say. Hope we'll see what the Lord wants to do in each one of our lives. Don't look at your neighbor. Don't think about nobody else. Think about where you are and what God wants to do with you. And I'm going to do the same thing right here, because God wants to work in our lives. And I want to tell you something. You can't go too far as long as you got breath. You can't go too far with God. And a lot of people asked me when I was working death row and I was there all those years, they said, how's a man on death row make it into heaven? I said, by putting his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. They said, but look what he's done. I said, well, look at the thief on the cross. There's two of them on there with Jesus, one on each side, and both of them had the same opportunity. One, he wouldn't have nothing to do with the Lord. And the other man said, Lord, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. What did Jesus say to him? You will be with me in paradise today. Yes. So we got hope. I just believe in the hope in Christ until it's all over. Amen. Till we reject him to a place that we just won't accept him. So I want us to be encouraged for others. I hope everybody in here is saved. I can't save or lose nobody. Everybody in here knows your heart and you know what's going on in your life. But I hope everybody in this room is saved. If you're not saved, you need to get saved, because you don't have tomorrow a promise. But I'm going to tell you this. I'll go further than that. Neither one of us in this room has the next breath promised to us. We could breathe. I could breathe the last breath right here in this pulpit. I could breathe. If you breathe your last breath, you better be ready to go. Because when you wake up, I know where I'm going to wake up. I'm going to wake up on the other side in the arms of the Lord Jesus. So if you don't know that, get to know that. And if you know that with all your heart, do what you can do to get somebody that you know that don't know the Lord to get to know him. That's a job that we've got, and we've got to try to pick up on that work. Working to get people to know and get people to come and know the Lord as their Savior. But this scripture has meant a lot to me down through the time. And you look at Jesus here when he's going through this situation. And they're hollering out. Let's just read a little verse. Let's start in verse 21. Chapter 23 of verse 21 in the book of Luke. But they cried, saying, crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, why, what evil hath he done? I have found no fault of death in him. I will therefore chasten him and let him go. So this man was wanting to let Jesus go. He couldn't find no fault in him. He wanted to let him go. But Jesus knew that wasn't going to happen, because he came for that very reason. When he was born over there in Bethlehem to that virgin, he knew his destiny was to die for mankind, to put his blood, put his life on the line in the what we had called the right in the middle of our best of our years, 33 years old, 33 and a half years. When we're in that age, we feel strong. We feel like we can do anything. We can move mountains. We can do this. We can do that. Then when it starts going down, when I was 33, I felt like I could do anything. But I'm glad that the Lord didn't do what he could have done with me. He waited till I was 36 years old, and then I come to him. And when he got in my life, I had a life worth living. And I thank God for saving me. I thank him for having mercy and grace, and I thank him for hearing prayers of those who cared about me. But I want us to know that we need to be on the prayer line for others. We need to pray for them, no matter how bad it looks, no matter what it looks like. They may be on death row in the prison, but I'm going to tell you something. There's men on death row that's been saved in that prison. I was there, I think 16 or 17 years, I walked door to door. I'm going to tell you something. And some of them guys was evil. I'm telling you, the devil had a hold on them that you wouldn't believe. You could see it in their face. You could see it in their eyes. You could see it in all their talk. Anything they took part in, it was evil. But there were some of them men, you go by their doors, and that evil started to dwindle. Preacher, come back and tell me some more about this Jesus. Started to dwindle. And some of them, you go to the door, and they'll tell you, get off the door, I belong to the devil. I said, well, that's your problem. And I'd go on. But I'm going to tell you something. There's some folks on death row that's in heaven today. And you'll say, why is that? Because they accepted Christ Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And they say, well, how do you get that? I always go back to this chapter right here. I said, there's three men on the cross, and Jesus was a man in the middle. He one had the answer. There's one on one side and one on the other. And when Jesus gave opportunity, one rejected, one said, Lord, remember me. And you say, how did he know who he was? I said, he knew who he was. He recognized that he was Lord. And when he said, Lord, remember me, Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise. We realize who God is, and we say, God, please forgive us. Please remember me. Please come into my life and save my soul. He'll do it. I'm a fine example. He'll do it. And some of you folks know what I'm talking about. When you come to him and you was brokenhearted and downtrodden, had no hope and nothing else, and you fell on your face before him and said, Lord, please come into my life, save my soul. I cried out, folks. I cried out, and I wasn't one that's done much crying back in those days. I cry all the time now. I'll cry at a drop of a hat. Sometimes I'll drop it to cry. But I'm going to tell you something. There was times there were no tears come out of these eyes, no matter what's going on. No matter how bad it got, how rough it got, there wasn't no crying coming out of this. I was a man. No, I wasn't a man. I was a man in the flesh, lost. Ignorant. I'm glad I come to Jesus. Amen. And when this man on the cross, is crying out, crucify him, crucify him. And they were instant with loud voices requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. You know there's folks right now trying to get Jesus out of the way. Amen. Trying to get him out of the way. There's so many ways that people's got to worship, but it's not Jesus. When you walk into prison these days, and I've been going into prisons for a long time, different states and different prisons. I've been in Tennessee prisons for the last, 17 years. But I went in other prisons for about 5 years, and it's worse right now than ever. There's things that I've heard people say that they believe in, and that's what's going to get them through. I said, let me tell you this. There's only one way you're going to get to God. And that's through his son, Jesus. If you don't go through him, you're going the other direction. The devil is leading you. If you're trying to get to God, you're going to hell. It's just as simple as that. Because the devil is taking you to where he's going. And he don't even have enough sense to know where he's going. He thinks he's going to overtake this thing. But I think down deep he knows different. But we need to know in whom we trust. And we need to know what time it is. We're in, you say, preacher, they've been saying the last days for years and years. I said, well, let me tell you this. Get your paper, turn on the news, see how many died today. If they were waiting on another day, they ain't gonna make it. If God dealt with them another day and they said, no, I don't need you, they're in a bad shape. And that's what we, as God's children, need to be ready to give an account. Why today? Because today's the last day for somebody. Today's the last day for a lot of somebodies all over. Just the United States, not counting all over the world. That's just counting our United States, where most of us are most of the time. We may go out of the country every once in a while, but I'm going to tell you, most of the time we're spending time in our area. And we're seeing people lost and undone without God. And we can't make them get saved. I'm not saying that. Nobody can make anybody. They couldn't make me get saved. People tried to save me. They tried to make it happen. But they couldn't make it happen. But when they got a hold of the one who could, then he broke my heart. He broke my spirit. You say, you sound like you got some pretty good spirit now. Yeah, but I got the Holy Spirit now. I got a spirit worth following. I got a spirit worth talking about. I've got something worth doing, and that's talking to people about Jesus. So remember that you've got what it takes if the Lord Jesus is living in your life. You've got what it takes to help somebody. And sometimes it'll seem hopeless. But I'm going to tell you this. When you give the Lord Jesus Christ to somebody by your word and by your love and by prayer, you never know. May be a rejection right there. But there may be a day that they come and say, hey, I'm glad you told me about Jesus. Amen. I met a man on death row when I first got there. I met several, about all of them. I took the whole row. And that man used to run up that door. He'd say anything or do anything. You never know what he's going to do. And I talked to him, and I'd give him scripture. He had a Bible. I talked to him. I said, you need to get right with the Lord. And he'd go on with a bunch of garbage. I won't repeat. I don't believe it's worth repeating. But one day, I came by that door. And I looked in there, and he's sitting on his bunk. He looked up, seen me at that door, and here he come. I said, oh, what's going on today, guys? That's my fate. He ran up that door and said, preacher, 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 what? I said, what? He said, I got saved right there last night. I said, you couldn't have told me no better news. He said, I got saved right there. And it come time for him to be executed shortly after that. And he come to me when I went by and he said, chaplain, he said, I want you to do something. I said, what do you want me to do? He said, when my family comes, I want you to be with them. I want you to be with them. Talk to them. And you be with them. He said, I don't need nobody to be with me. He said, the Lord's with me. He said, I'm on my way home. And he said, will you come and be with my family? He had brothers and sisters. And they'd come those last 48 hours. And they'd go in a room, a private room, and sit down with him. And I'd go in there and sit down with them. They started talking about when there's little kids coming up all the way up to this point right here. There's a lot of laughing, a lot of good memories, a lot of sad memories, a lot of crying. And when it get to that point, that's when it got hard, at that point right there. And we embraced, and I'd embraced them. And when it come that day to go in that room and watch him take the death penalty, that was a hard situation. But I already know God was in the midst. I said, God, you be with these folks right here. I said, he's already said, and he made it known that he's got somebody to be with him. He didn't even have nobody to come and stand by the gurney, his own. He said, Ronnie, he said, you be with him. He said, I don't need you. He said, you've done all you need to do. He said, I got somebody to come and get me. He said, you be with him. And so we were there. Execution went through, and I walked out with his family, and just tried to embrace them, because once they walked outside them prison doors, you know what they met. Flashing cameras and everything, the media doing this and doing that. I told them, I said, you just keep walking. Don't stop, just keep on walking. Because if you stop, it's going to be worse. And they just walk right on. So God let them do that. I know God will hear prayers. I don't care what condition is in. He can change that condition. So remember that when you're talking to somebody that seems hopeless and helpless to you. If you got a message from God, give it to him. If it's three words, if it's coming from God, he'll do what it needs to be done. If they receive it, they'll receive it and it'll be helped to them. If they reject it, it's going to be damnation against them. So but don't let it be against you. And I say, Ronnie, don't let it be against me. Don't fail to tell what God has done for you when you have an opportunity. Remember that. Wherever you are, no matter how bad the situations may seem. In verse 25, it said, he released unto them him that for sedition and murder was cast into prison, whom they had desired, but he delivered Jesus to their will. So we got a man that's guilty, and they delivered Jesus to be the guilty one. But that was God's plan. They didn't plan that. If they'd have known that, it didn't even enter their mind. But when Jesus, he knew where he's going, he knew why he's going. Do we know where we're going? Do we know why we're going? And are we going to go that way? If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to be going his way. You need to be telling somebody, praying, God, give me a burden. God, put a burden on me to tell somebody about you. And let them come my way. And you know what? God will do that. And I promise you this, if you'll pray that sincere in your heart, you'll know when they come. You deliver the message. And then pray. Because God's got to do the salvation. We just deliver the message. Sometimes it may come right then. You may deliver that message. God convict their heart and they'll say, pray with me. Help me pray to get to the Lord to be saved. And then they may say something off the wall and go on. You just go past that a little ways and say, God, please have mercy on that person. Please have mercy on that soul. Don't be angry. Don't say, well, they deserve it. Don't ever get to that place. Don't care how bad or how ugly it is. Don't get to that place to say they deserve it, because we are not in a place, in a position to say that about anybody. We're in a place, in a position to stand in the gap for the worst of the worst. If we'll do that, we'll not regret it. If we don't, we will regret it. Let's cry and do away with him. And as they led him away, they laid hold upon one Simon Cyrenian coming out of the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bury it after Jesus. And there were followed with him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. There was people there that loved Jesus. There were people there that Jesus had worked in their lives. There were people there that got close to the Lord Jesus. And they knew the devastation that was happening right now, but they didn't realize the outcome fully. And we don't either. We've heard it, we've preached it, and we know it, but we don't really, really, really realize the outcome when Jesus steps out. Live or dead, I'm coming out. Live or dead, we're coming out. If I'm in that grave, I'm coming out of there. And if I'm standing and he steps out on that cloud, I'm going up there. Be ready to tell somebody, come and go with me where you have an opportunity. Come and get to know Jesus where you have an opportunity. And therefore followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, what did he say? Weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. This message is for today. Jesus is saying, don't weep for him. Weep for yourself and weep for your children. Because God, he sat on the throne. And he wants us to get somebody to him. And I've got lost family members. I've got lost friends that don't know Jesus. And I want to tell them. Every opportunity I get, I want to tell them. And I want them to get to know him before he comes for them. I can't save them, but I can pray. I can't save them, but I can walk. If I walk the walk and talk the talk, they're going to see it. They don't have to believe it, but they can see it. They're going to know it. Eyeball, when you see somebody walking and talking about Jesus, if they got the walk to go with their talk, it's going to line up. We can't talk about Jesus and walk with this world. It ain't going to work. If we got more world in us than we got Jesus, we got trouble. And I'll tell you one thing, this old flesh, the devil works in this flesh. If we ain't careful, he'll take this flesh and he'll wear us out. You say, preacher, you have a battle? Every day. Every day I battle. But you know what? I've never ended the day without victory. Never ended the day without victory. Even in the battles. Because God's going to be there. He said he would. I believe him. He's already proved to me. I know he's going to be there. Let him walk. Let him talk. And when you got the devil on you, and it just feels like he's got you around the throat, you better get down. You're not getting down for him. You're getting down, Lord, have mercy on me. I can't even hardly breathe. Just come and give me some relief. God will. You may have a friend that God's dealing with. You know he's dealing with. You can tell when you're talking to some of your friends. You can tell when the Holy Spirit starts dealing with them. You can see it. And then you can see when the devil will run right in there headlong and try to break that down. You've got to get down to business. God, please have mercy on my friend. I believe he's listening. You know what's going on with him. Help him. Help her. Whatever the situation may be. But folks, that's our responsibility. To be ready and willing to help others. He said, don't weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. That's a very important message from Jesus as he was going to the cross. Powerful message. For behold, the days are coming in thee which they shall say, blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bear, and to the pouch which never suck. Can you see what's going on in this country alone? Can you see what's going on with children and situations of children who don't have somebody that knows the Lord in their family? That don't know who to tell them about, not know who to lead them to? Folks, we got that responsibility. We may not be their parents. We may not even be any relation. But if we know some kids that need to know Jesus, we need to let them know and go to their parents and let them know. Never know what God's going to do. So don't be afraid and don't care. Don't be unwilling to go to do what God's got for you to do. We've got to do it. Blessed are the barren, the wombs that never bear, and the pouch which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say, to the mountains fall on us, and to the hills cover us. For they do these things in a green tree. What shall they do in a dry tree? Folks, we're in a serious thing. Serious business with God. Serious business with God. I like to have fun. I like to have laughter. And it's good. But I'm going to tell you something. I found out one thing in these last few weeks. Mourning is necessary. Laughter is good. And it makes us feel good. And it makes other people laugh. But we need to be about mourning for a lost and a dying world. Wailing and crying out to see souls saved. That should be our main objective. Because the days are drawing nigh. And there were two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left. Here's Jesus talking again. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. How hard is it to forgive somebody that might hurt your feelings, not let alone nailing you to the cross? Sometimes people say things to you, hurt your feelings, and it just gets you all upset. Here's Jesus. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You'll say, well, he was God in the flesh. Don't forget that. He was in the flesh. He had the same pains, same suffering, same trials that we have. But he had the Holy Spirit working in him. Well, what's our excuse? The Bible teaches me if you're saved, you've got the Holy Spirit working in you. He sent the Holy Spirit. When I got saved, he sent the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct me, to comfort me. What excuse have I? I don't have one. I don't have no excuse. And neither do any of us. But Jesus, he took the place that we didn't have to go. But it's sometimes, brothers and sisters, we need to look at ourselves as stepping into the place where somebody else hadn't been. Step into that place and let them know Jesus. Let him know what he wants to do and how he wants to do it. And be there when times are hard. And if we'll do that, God will honor that. He'll hear our prayers and he'll go with us to do whatever we need to do to help us get that done. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them desired him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself. If he be Christ, the chosen one of God. That little word if, ain't that something? Ain't that how if gets in a lot of conversations? If you do this, or if you do that, if I'd have done this, or if I'd have done that. That little word's very important, ain't it? And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a subscription also was written over him, in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, this is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him. Listen to what this man said. Railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. You know, there's a lot of selfish, unrighteous people. If you be who you say you are, if God be who you say he is, he'd do this for me, he'd do that for me. I said, God ain't operating through no sin. I said, if you'll ask him to save your soul and forgive your sins, he'll do it. But to ask him to go to sin with you, you might well forget that. That ain't never going to happen. The devil will answer you. He'll say, yeah, come on with me. We can do it. You can do whatever you want to. Yeah. But the devil can't save your life. But the other answered, this is the man I want to get to. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, does not thou fear God? Seeing thou art in the same condemnation. And we indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing. He recognized who Jesus was. He knew him. He knew he had no sin. This man has done nothing. And can you remember that day? When all that sin was packed up in you and on you and all over you, instead of saying, God, why don't you do something about this? He cried out and said, Lord, have mercy on me, a sinner. Have mercy on me, a sinner. And he said, yes. Yes. But this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. He didn't say tomorrow. He didn't say next week. He said, today you'll be with me in paradise. That man recognized who Jesus was. Lord, remember me. Lord, remember me. You remember when you wanted him to remember you and to come into your life? Well, I'll tell you what, that works also for us to go say, Lord, remember this lost soul. Have mercy. You don't think God will hear the prayers of his children? He will. Amen. Opportunity. Sometimes lost folks, they don't know. They ain't going to call. But God will put them in a place where they'll recognize to say yes or no. And we got to stand in the gap, brothers and sisters. We got to stand in the gap. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst, and when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said this, he gave up the ghost, and he went home. Where we at in a place in our own life? This is a question I'm asking myself. But I'm asking everybody and under my voice, where are we when it comes to taking somebody to Jesus? Are we able to do that? Are we able to take them, put them on the altar? No matter what the condition is in their lives. But as a child of God, can we take them to the altar? Say, God, have mercy. Have mercy and call their name to him and see what God will do. It's a serious, serious business, church. And I've done shared this with you and I've seen it. There's a lot of folks coming and going out of church that have no concern about souls being saved and lives being changed. Because when I was in church and I was lost, I had no concern. But there's a lot of other folks just like me. And there's some in there that was on fire for God. And they wanted souls to be saved and lives to be changed. And their lives told a different story than my life told at that time. But when the Lord came into my life, he broke my heart and he broke my spirit. Thank you, Lord. And he gave me his. Be willing to weep over the lost. Be willing to weep. Because I'm going to tell you something. God bottles up the tears. If you're crying for a lost and dying world, you're crying out for folks you know that's in a dire strait and just don't look like they're going to come out. God honors a broken heart and a contrite spirit. So, church, I want to say to you, be encouraged to be about God's business. You come in this place right here, it's a good place. You come in here to worship and to praise the Lord. And when you go out that door and over to that door and get in your car, you're in the battlefield. If you're not, you're in the wrong place. Get it settled in here. that you're going to the battlefield and you need some help. If you'll do that, I believe God will give an increase of souls coming and saying, the Lord came into my life right here on this altar. Because if he comes in right here on this altar, I guarantee they're going to get up and say it. No doubt in my mind. I done been experienced with that. When I got out from under that bench on this side, in that church, I looked over at Debbie and I said, you got a brand new husband. And I thought about that, and I said, when I told her that, she probably said, I hope so. But she stuck with me through thick and thin. She prayed for me when I was at my worst. No telling where I was or what I was into or what the news was going to be. And God answered the prayer. Folks, pray one for another. Please pray for the lost. If you know somebody, and I take names, and I write down, people say, I got a lost loved one, or I've got a lost friend. I want to put their name down. Why? Because I want to call their name out to him. I may not ever see them. And one day they may come up to me. One day in heaven they may come up and say, your prayer got through, preacher. But other people are praying. So let God work in your life. And let him see souls saved. I love you folks. You say, you don't know us. You probably couldn't call two names in here. I said, well, God knows your name and I know your face. And I love you. It's been a pleasure for Debbie and I to be here. And I tell you what, my son, we're proud of him. And he's a man of God and he stands for God and he's been doing that for a long time. But I want to share this with you. He may not ever share it, and I hope he don't get angry at me. But my oldest son, he come and visited with us Saturday at Debbie's birthday party. And by the way, she's got in her 60s now. She's getting old. She said, you might as well tell it. I said, well, you're going to catch me. I said, you're just about 5.5 years behind me. But God has blessed us. He has. But I want you to know this about Kevin. He was in the Marines. And you know how that is. You go in there and you come out, you're ready to tackle the world. My oldest boy, Ron, was in the Air Force. He's in there 10 years. And he come out, and him and Kevin got together when they come out. They was going to this place. It's a club in Polk County. You know where Polk County is. If you ever heard of that, you know what kind of deal it was. They were going there. And Ron called me, my oldest son. He said, Dad, that broke my heart. He said, Dad, you need to talk to Kevin. I said, what's going on with you? He said, Dad, he's just like you was. He's not afraid of nobody and nothing fears him. And I'm afraid somebody's going to hurt him or kill him. He said, he can handle himself. But he said, when you get 4, 5, 6 men on you, and things can happen. I said, I know that sign. So what I did, I just started praying. I said, God, you brought these boys to the service. You got them out here. Please have mercy on them. See, when they went in, I was a little different guy than I was when it come out. And I talked to them and I prayed for them. And I prayed with them. But when the Lord dealt with him, it's been a different story. And I'm glad when people say, Kevin's just like his daddy. I'm proud when they say that. Because Kevin is on fire for God and he loves the Lord and he loves God's people and he loves lost souls. So you folks just keep on keeping on. Keep on praying. Keep on working. Because the Lord is on His way back. Amen. So if we're working and doing His business, we'll be glad to sing. Amen. Be glad to sing. Anybody got a word?
Thank you.
Amen. Anybody got a testimony?